Here we go. It is a Friday edition of the Sports Rush, taking you into your sports weekend. I am Brett Rump, along with Caleb Hatch, and not in studio today. In fact, we are getting all geared up to get the start of the high school football season. It is High School Football Media Day, and we're out here at the Empower Sports Club out on Lima Road. All of the coaches, number of the players coming out here to kind of tell us what to expect from their teams this year. It should be a fun couple of hours, and of course, we're going to have coaches lined up all the way until we wrap things up at 6 o'clock. We hope to get up to 10 coaches on the show today. Any questions you've got about high school football, our Parkview Sports Medicine text line is open. It's 46862, 46862. Hey, and also, before we get started, just want to get this out there. Don't forget the Tin Caps Treetops Party, presented by Glenbrook Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram and 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. It comes up on August 12th. Tickets are available right now and they are limited, so you want to be sure to get your hands on one. We'll sit up in the treetop section for a Thursday night Tin Caps game. We'll also have an all-inclusive ticket. That means all-you-can-eat food buffet. We've got draft beer. We've got wine. We've got a special exclusive commemorative t-shirt that everybody that gets their ticket will be able to go home with that night. And of course, the proceeds go to Cancer Services of Northeast Indiana. So make sure you get your tickets. They're just $49.50. They're available by going to 1380thefan.com. Click on the Tin Caps Treetops Party banner, and it will take you right to the ticketing site. All right, here we go. Time to talk some high school football. So much fun to catch up with coaches once again. And we'll start things off with Carroll coach Doug Dinan, who joins us here on the Masters Heating and Cooling hot seat. And well, Coach, first of all, it feels good to actually be here, have a media day, and know that we've got a high school football season just about a month away.
You know, Brett, I completely agree with you. It's great to have our kids together. You know, they need to be together. They need the social activity. They need the athletic activity. So we're really excited about the season. We're excited to have a June, July as was normal. Last year was not. This year we're excited about many things, and the biggest thing is to have some normalcy in school and athletic activity within Carroll High School.
Well, then maybe the second biggest thing is that little project that's been going on out there at Carroll, the brand new stadium. I'm sure that's something that, well, many of us would have considered it long overdue, but it's finally there. It's finally ready to get started. We can't wait to get out there and see it.
Yep, you're right. It was overdue, you know, but our board has done a tremendous job, and we're very thankful for the construction project. You're going to love it. You know, it's got a nice room just for media. And so it's a great place to watch a game, to watch events, track meets, and other things too. You know, we're band competitions and who knows how much. But it's got plenty of seating, plenty of restrooms, a nice concession area open. Turf facility, and so we're really excited, you know, and we're fortunate to have the opportunity to play in such a brand new facility.
Does a turf surface change anything that you do with your program as far as where you put athletes or the type of offense or defense that you run?
You know, without question, you're a little bit faster on a turf surface, which I think, you know, plays into our hand a little bit, but you know, it doesn't change a lot in terms of preparation. You know, what it does is it eases your anxiety in regards to inclement weather. You always know the consistency of the surface. And if you're in a poor weather game on a grass field, you know, you probably had to play the hashes to the sidelines and stay out of the middle and stay out of the area that was, you know, in bad condition. You know, that's not the case. We are finally the last team, 6A, to have a turf surface. So all 6A teams in Indiana now have a turf surface. And the turf surface that we're on is the same that the Colts are playing on, Cincinnati Bengals, the same that Northrop High School is. And so it's a tremendous facility, you know, put down by the Moats Group out of Cincinnati. You know, but it does help you play faster, you know, and I think it's going to be conducive to great games.
When you talk about your football team and who you've got coming back, we've got to start with quarterback Jeff Becker. He's been there for a couple of years now, and it's got to make you feel good to know you've got that experience to kind of build around.
Yep. Always the position that you feel comfortable about returning to the quarterback spot. And, you know, Jeff will be a three-year starter, and he's been very productive, as we know, you know, and the catalyst of our program, you know, especially on the offensive side. And so there are guys that surround him. But without question, you know, Jeff makes plays, you know, throwing the ball, running the ball, making decisions. And having a guy come back for his third year eases the anxiety with coaches in regards to installation of offense and, you know, and new personnel coming back. There's still that transition at the quarterback spot that makes that transition for other players a little bit easier.
What does it mean as far as leadership? We watch players develop and their skill set develop on the field, but you know, for a guy like Jeff that has that quarterback position, now a senior, you want to see him take those steps each year and be more of a leader, I assume.
One of the greatest leadership characteristics is trust, and other players have to trust him. There are three components of trust that we continually talk about, and I'm not going to give you the whole speech right now, but one of those components is competency. Okay, can you play? Can you do those things on the field? And he does that over and over. You know, the connection that he has with other people and the character that he has are the two other C's in trust. And when you have all three of those characteristics, people are going to follow you. Okay? And that's what leadership is. Leadership is influencing people and people wanting to follow you to achieve a higher level. And that's what Jeff brings to us every day.
Besides Jeff, tell us what you expect from your offense.
Offensively, you know, we've got several guys returning, you know, like Luke Carmody and A.J. Lazoff and Jameson Coverstone and, you know, a few offensive line guys, Tyler Wiersma and Max Malcolm, you know, just to name a few guys. Jake Rust is a senior, played very limited for us last year. But, you know, those guys are returning guys. There's a few underclassmen that will contribute to that as well. But, you know, those guys that we hope will provide, you know, great productivity as we have had in the past on the offensive side.
Talking to Coach Doug Dinan here from the Carroll Chargers, joining us on our special High School Football Media Day out here at Empower Sports Club. And, Coach, defensively, what do you expect to see from your football team?
Defensively, again, we want our guys to play fast. We want to fly to the ball. You know, we've got some athletes on the defensive side as well. Some great seniors in Ethan Beaupre, Aaron Stewart, Liam Ottenweller, you know, a few guys, Aaron Jackaway, to just name a few. And these seniors are going to lead us by putting in new scheme, by playing to the ball fast, by playing tenacious defense, and being relentless all the time. You know, without question, the defensive side is a side that we have to improve on. You know, we have to improve our defensive side. We have to cut down the scoring output of the opponent. And if we do that, we feel that we're going to be competitive every week.
Coach, appreciate it. Have fun at Media Day today, and good luck with the season.
Brent,
we look forward to seeing you in that beautiful
absolutely.
New facility. That
thank
is Coach
you.
Doug Dinan joining us here to open up the show with our high school football coaches show. And I guess I call it the high school football coaches show. That's not really what it is. This is the Sports Rush. But we've got so many coaches that we've got lined up here today, and we're going to kind of go one by one right through the list and just keep them coming. And so our second guest joins us from Eastside High School. It's Todd Mason. And Todd, let's first just talk about last year's team, because you had a lot of success from that group a year ago. And, you know, you see what the program's done under your leadership over the last few years. And I talk a lot about this, whether you have teams when you're in a smaller community type setting or whether you have programs that have built up to that level. Where's Eastside right now?
Well, we certainly hope it's a program thing. You know, our community has been awesome in the development of this program. And, you know, it wasn't just last year that was a good season. We won our first sectional title ever in the history of Eastside in 19. And they've had two back-to-back 10-win seasons, which is we've never had a 10-win season prior to that. So, and this group, this senior group that we have this year has won the most football games, and they're going to put more icing on the cake, I hope. We're hoping anyway. So, you know, so we're real excited about what's going to happen this year, and we are certainly glad that we're going to have fans in the stands and all the things that are great about high school football. We're going to see them again.
This is an interesting question because often it's not a loss that gives you that bounce into the next season. But when you go back and look how last season ended, a shootout that you just barely lost to Bishop Luers, and then you watch what Bishop Luers did advancing all the way to the state championship, does that, even in losing, does it give your team a certain confidence that they take into this season?
Well, I think it does. I think it also gives us that little bit of extra motivation. Anytime you're within a touchdown, and listen, that was one of the best football games I've ever been a part of. I'm not going to lie. It gives your kids the understanding that they were that close to playing at Lucas Oil Stadium. Mm-hmm. And, I talk to our kids about this all the time, that when you're in Little League, you dream of playing for the high school. When you're in high school, you dream of playing in Lucas Oil Stadium. Mm-hmm. And we're that close, and we're doing some things to hopefully ensure that we can make a run at that state title, because I'm not going to lie, that's our goal, and I'm not ashamed of it. You're going to hear it from our guys too, that we're playing for a state title, and Luers brings back a ton of talent. They're a great football team, but so are we, and we're going to get after
them. Tell us about your football team. Who are some of the key players you've got coming back?
Well, the most importantly, we have 3/5 of our line coming back offensively. And Laban Davis, obviously, everybody talks about Laban. Threw for 1,700 yards a year ago and rushed for almost 1,300, counted for 43 touchdowns. He's a heck of a ball player, and he's going to be the leader of this football team. He's going to do some things that are going to be pretty spectacular. But we don't talk as much about the defensive people this year because we lost some really key players, but we've got some guys in the background. Dax Holman's going to have a fantastic year. He's one of the best football players I've ever coached. And Kyler Bibb is going to have a big year. Johnny Eck is going to be a third-year starter in the secondary. Carson Jacobs was an all-conference defender at corner a year ago as a sophomore, going to be a junior. And our philosophy is do your 1/11th on defense and then get your butt to the football. And once you do your job and get to the football, it's a party there, and our guys do a great job of that.
Love that philosophy. I know we don't get up to Butler as much as we would like to cover games, but we did catch up with you last year down in the sectional against Bluffton, put on a show. I know Laban Davis was somebody that our broadcasters all came up back and raved about because it was our chance to kind of see him and to be able to see him perform against some really tough competition. That's the thing for the young man, to be challenged, and he seems to be able to rise up when he's challenged.
Well, when you look at Laban, from his sophomore year through his senior year, his maturation as a quarterback and what he's done with his body is just fantastic. He's probably going to be benching 315, squatting about 450, and power cleaning 280, which is one of the strongest guys on our football team. So he's done this himself. He's put himself in a position to be a dominant football player, and we are expecting that to happen with him.
Todd Mason, coach of the Eastside Blazers, joining us here on a special edition of the Sports Rush. Good luck with the season, Todd.
Hey,
really,
thanks. I appreciate really it.
Really appreciate taking
us.
Time to jump on with us. And of course, Eastside, one of those talented small community schools. Last year, we talked quite a bit about South Adams. Well, maybe it's Eastside's turn this year as they return a good nucleus from that successful team that made it to a sectional championship and ended up getting beat by Bishop Luers 56-49 in the sectional championship. But then you look at the path that Luers took, ended up getting all the way down to Lucas Oil Stadium. Eastside, not that far away. We're going to take a quick timeout. We're coming back. Plenty more up ahead as we continue here at the Empower Sports Club with the High School Football Media Day. You are listening to the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Welcome back to the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix 4-6. Good to have you with us on this special edition on a Friday, taking you into your sports weekend. We're live at Empower Sports Club. It is High School Football Media Day. That means we're counting down to the start of the high school football season. It comes up on August 20th. And, of course, one team that generally makes it onto our airwaves, and that's what happens with successful teams and successful programs, is the Snyder Panthers. We're joined right now on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hot Seat by Snyder Panthers head coach Kurt Tippmann, and quickly becoming one of the old veterans coming to these high school football media days. How many years is it now?
I feel like I just got out of college.
Well, you look like it, too.
I don't know about that.
You know, if we want to really have some fun, I could say you still look like you're the Wildcat or in the oversized
go.
T-shirt.
There you go. I lied about my age so I could play earlier. It's great to be back. Great to see everybody in one place. And really appreciative of all the people that put this on and for all that you guys do and promoting high school sports. It's fun, and it's exciting to have everything kind of back to normal.
Yeah, and that's really the theme, I think, is that this is a sign that we're heading into a season that's kind of back to normal. How tough was it last year? Wasn't typical record-wise. You had to deal with the COVID issues. How tough was 2020?
Well, not for me, but for the kids, just high school kids and kids in general. You know, whether it would be the educational part, you know, going to school virtually, the Zoom, whole Zoom idea, not having the same kind of connection with their friends. They struggled in all kinds of ways. Athletically, we weren't even close to doing the things that we normally do in an off season. We still have kids that are still trying to recoup from some of the stuff that went on for 4 months when they didn't have contact with their teammates or with the coaches or with adults. You know, it's lots of different aspects of difficulties. Everybody dealt with it. So, you know, I'm not saying we had any more adversity than anybody else. But it was just tough around watching kids go through that. And, you know, shoot, we got our AP scores the other day. And you notice things like that went from the best students in the school.
Yeah.
Let alone the kids that struggle and the athletes. So all around, all kinds of difficulties. But, you know, we did the best we could, and the kids are doing the best they can. And, you know, it is nice to have a normal off season.
And, you know, Coach, something that I brought up as a point before is, you know, you want to hear these people on social media that immediately say, these kids shouldn't play, it's not safe. What's not safe is some of the things they deal with that aren't about physicality. It's not about the contact they have on Friday nights. It's about what they deal with mentally. And I don't think we should overlook the effects that this COVID pandemic has had on our youth and how important sports has been in really helping a lot of situations when kids are struggling. And you talk about those social, you know, the socialization and being with your friends. I mean, maybe the escape was sports last year.
Absolutely. Some people don't understand that really high school sports exists as an extension of the school day. Mm-hmm. I mean, it should be a learning experience. And if it's not, you know, the priorities are in the wrong place. Well, I think the majority of places provide that kind of environment for kids, and they flourish in those kinds of environments. You take that away, and, you know, obviously there's all kinds of, you know, issues that go into making those decisions, not, you know, telling anybody made poor decisions by any means, but you know, kids gain positive virtues from being involved in high school sports. Mm-hmm. And to have that, you know, change, to have that absent in their lives, you know, they're still struggling.
What did you learn about your football team through last season? Not a typical Snyder one loss record, and so I'm sure you're looking back and thinking, what are things we can do to be better here in this year? But again, to me, you look at last year and there's so many other things that happened behind the scenes that it's hard to say, oh, it was a down year. I mean, to me, it was a good year for everybody just to get through it.
Right. We got to play a season. We got to play in the playoffs. You know, we completed a season. At this time last year, I didn't think we'd play. Mm-hmm. I didn't think we'd have a season. I really didn't. I thought we'd play 4 games and they'd shut us down.
Yeah.
And so glad and happy for that group of seniors that got to play their senior season. And although it was different and, you know, there were no fans and, you know, had all kinds of different feelings than what they were used to for 3 years, they got to complete a season. Mm-hmm. So proud of that. We played a lot of young guys, and being able to watch them grow and learn from a lot of mistakes, very encouraging, you know, the way they continued to fight. And that experience and those learning lessons will pay dividends this year, you know, we hope. But, you know, that, I guess, is what makes this year encouraging. And, you know, we've been excited, had a great offseason. We've had a great offseason in terms of weight room, numbers, participation. The summer, we just concluded our last summer workout this morning.
And that's one of the things about your program, Coach. Now, I don't want to interrupt, but that's one of the things about your program is these kids have a sense of accountability to all the players that played before them. That's the culture that's been established at Snyder. And they don't accept 5-5. They come back and they do things differently. They do things more aggressively. And that's the thing I think that makes a program versus having a successful team once in a while is that there's that culture that's been established and built by the players that came before you.
Absolutely. We had a practice last night and a graduate of 2006, Troy Davis, who was a great two-way player for us, played in the state runner-up team in 2004. Was a fullback, defensive lineman, you know, the epitome of a Snyder football player in terms of what we want those guys to turn out to be. Very successful now, husband, father, you know, productive member of society. And he had a great message for the team, you know, about what it takes. And it's not difficult. It's just, you know, working hard, caring about your teammates. Good till happen. You know, you're not going to get everything you work for. But if you don't work hard, you're not going to experience the success that you're aiming to be. But he had a great message for our players, and we've had several former players speak to our team this mm-hmm. summer. And, you know, all the messages have been very consistent. Work hard, care about each other, make a positive contribution to the society and the place that you live, and good things will happen. You'll live a happy life.
What does it mean to have a guy like Rod Woodson that's part of the Snyder program? I think about these kids, and I'm like, well, they never even had a chance to see him play.
Don't even know who he is.
Now, come on. They've got to know who he is.
They know the name, but they never watched him play.
Unbelievable.
And it was great. You know, he was outstanding when he came back. Gave everybody time. He talked to the kids, young, old, no matter what, took pictures with them, but just sat and talked.
Yeah.
You know, he did, when he was doing his camp before, he was in the midst of a career, and he was a busy guy. But, you know, since he's been retired, he's a lot more laid back, and, man, he spent a great bit of time and had quality conversation with, you know, the kids that were in that camp, and it was a great experience. Really, really excited that he brought the camp back to Fort Wayne.
I want to get quickly to the 2021 version of the Snyder Panthers. Luke Halpert returns as your quarterback, and you talked about the great offseason. What have you seen from Luke?
Growth, his body. You know, he's put on probably 15 pounds, probably 2 inches. He has been in the offseason. He was an animal in the weight room and put up some great numbers. You know, he's a stronger kid, and, you know, his arm's stronger, but his body is, he's capable of playing a high school game and not getting bounced around
and taking a few hits.
Yeah. I mean, he had a great track season, was on our 4x1, you know, state qualifying track, team in that event, but he's grown in the mental skill of being a quarterback, with the traction. Outfit that, you know, they do a great job and have helped him grow. Mm-hmm. And you just can't duplicate the reps and decision making that he's been able to do in the offseason. And, you know.
And that's where leadership kind of starts,
absolutely.
Doesn't it? The first thing of leadership is earning the respect of your teammates and going out and really being the one that leads in the weight room, that, you know, first to practice, last to leave, those kind of kids. And to have a quarterback that's doing that has to really help everybody that's part of
Snyder's
program.
Everybody on our team knows he works his tail off. We have a run test that we finished the summer with in the morning, and he won every one of them. I mean, and he's out in front of all those backs, and he ain't going to let anybody beat him. But that sense of pride, and everybody respects that, and mm-hmm. he will be a great leader. which is a hard thing for a younger guy to do, but he has earned the respect of his teammates and the offensive guys, and he'll be a great voice for that offense.
Who else do you have that that you're counting on big things from?
Offensively, you know, it all starts up front, and we return, you know, almost all those offense, you know, beginning with Big DJ. He's had a good offseason. You know, he's in the, I would say, the best shape of his career. And it's had a great summer. But, you know, he brings 2 years of experience of playing every game. I mean, he's seen every defense that we're going to block and all the stunts. And, you know, he's got to be able to direct that offensive line and make sure those guys are all where they're supposed to be. But you know, we return our tight end and Carter Wartman and Lincoln Firkes. Both those guys, we play a lot of two tight end formations. Both those guys return. You know, Aiden Pels, Caleb Hurt played every game last year. You know, so we bring back just a wealth of experience on the offensive line. You can't replace that. I mean, that's right. Just huge.
That's where it all starts.
Absolutely.
Kind of the Chris Ballard theory.
Absolutely.
You got to win in the trenches if you're going to win it all.
He's got to. I mean, that's
right.
The heart and soul of the team, and that's the way they talk every day. It's heart and soul, and they certainly are for us offensively. And then that, you know, we bring back both running backs that carried the ball for us last year, and Tyrese Brown has had a very good offseason, and Langston Level, who we lost due to injury, you know, midway through the season.
Third or fourth game,
yeah.
I think, yeah.
So he is very healthy and was able to participate in baseball this spring and had a great baseball season. And so
now, he's not
guys,
a guy. He's not a guy, when I look at him, that looks like, oh, he's a running back. You know, that tall,
together,
big frame.
I mean, together athlete. You know, three-sport athlete,
yeah.
Basketball, baseball. You know, we did our vertical jump test the other day. I mean, he's off the charts with the vertical jump. He's just a great athlete.
Yeah.
You know, he jump over guys. He's a type of player.
They come taller these days than they
used. Well, everybody looks tall to me, Brett. But he is. He's a big guy. Both those guys are about 208 pounds, 210 pounds.
Good solid athletes.
So big loads, but yet, you know, run. The big thing Tyrese has improved on is his just linear speed.
Mm-hmm.
He's always had quickness and lateral movement, but just being able to, you know, his goal is to be able to break away on some of those runs, and he's improved in that regard. And then at the receiving core, we bring back Kamari Juarez, you know, who really lost him at the end of the year to an injury. So he wasn't able to play with us in the playoffs. Bring him back, and Adorian Rogers, and then we'll be supported by some young guys that'll come up. So offensively, you know, really bring back 10 of 11 starters. And that's encouraging. I can't remember a time where that's been the case. Defensively, on the front, you know, we bring back a quality guy at all three levels. On the front, Markel Keel has been a two-year starter. And, you know, he'll anchor the defensive front along with another senior, Caden Hurst. And then at linebacker, of course, Dominic Moon,
mm-hmm.
been a three-year starter.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, again, has seen everything, has seen every offense that we're going to play against, has been in and out of the
– He's that coach on the field
absolutely.
Is what he's going to be.
And he has to be. He's got to be able to direct things and get guys in the right place. But just, you know, I've noticed this summer, he just brings an aura of confidence. You know, he's not rattled by – somebody gains a little bit of – he's very calm. Helps guys get in the right place, and then along with that, Isaiah Maxwell, who had a spring injury that is coming back from that, and he has progressed tremendously well in terms of that injury, and really has been released here this last week. So, you know, he's another returning starter at linebacker, and then in the secondary, Quincy Myatt will be the lone returner, another senior that'll have to bring that experience to our secondary. So. You know, we're excited about that. We're going to be a little undersized on defense, but fast. And that's always a good thing. But, you know, we'll have to employ some different scheme to be able to utilize that talent rather than, you know, we don't have Lawrence Johnson eating up the middle and Zach McDowell, those big guys that
but
have been
playing
stalwarts.
On playing on turf, does that change? Does that make you kind of value and appreciate speed a little more?
Absolutely. Well, you know, we've always believed that, you know, on defense you got to play with speed.
Right.
And we'll always sacrifice size for a guy that can run.
Yeah.
And put the bigger guy that maybe not move as well, put them on the offense or on the offensive line. So that's just kind of been our philosophy. We like to play with undersized, fast guys. And And that'll be, you know, more of our identity this year.
Coach, best of luck to you. We got to keep moving on, but I know we'll talk again as the season rolls on. Appreciate it.
We'll look forward to seeing you on Friday nights. And again, we appreciate everything that you guys do, the radio station does, and it makes football and high school sports in Fort Wayne exciting. And just cool that we get the coverage that we do. So we're very appreciative.
Appreciate that. That is Coach Kurt Tippmann from the Snyder Panthers joining us here at the High School Football Media Day. We got to take a quick time out. We're going to come back on the other side. I know Coach Chad Zolman is going to join us when we return. It's a Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Welcome back to the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. I am Brett Rump, Caleb Hatch, also in the house here at Empower Sports Club. We're doing a special Sports Rush edition here on this Friday, taking you into your sports weekend as we start to get ready for the high school football season. We're at High School Football Media Day, continuing with our coaches. We're now joined on the Masters Heating and Cooling hot seat by Homestead coach Chad Zolman. Coach, it's a different feeling going into this year. You actually had a regular offseason. You had the regular 7-on-7s and all of the practice schedules. So you have to feel pretty good about where you're at this year versus all the questions we had a year ago.
It's night and day difference. You know, you look at we didn't get to touch the kids last year till July. Nothing, you know, and so to have a full spring and then a full summer, and we're in a much different position than we were last year. And I think it created a bit of a hunger. Our kids were I told our kids last night, it's probably one of the best off seasons we've had. The kids, just their work ethic, their buy-in, our numbers are up, things like that. So it's been really good.
What is it? I mean, you know, you go back a few years with high school football, and I go back to the days I played where no coach got any kid until August. To have all this extra time to put in an offense, to work on fundamentals and to be able to build up the bodies, how's it changed high school football? I mean, it just seems like it's taken it to new levels we never would have anticipated years ago.
You know, I think you can tell by the number of Division I athletes that Indiana's putting out now throughout the state, and I think each year it's increased, and I think you'll continue to see that. And IHSA has done a great job of kind of being proactive about these things. Because back, you're right, years ago we handed them a paper workout and said to get this done over the summer, and we'll see you in August.
Yeah.
You know, back a long time ago, so that's when I was playing. So
well,
it's
I
way,
am a long
different.
Time ago. Yeah.
So these kids are way better coached. They're way better athletes. I mean, if you look at the game, it's advanced tremendously. And I believe it's the changes that IHSA was willing to make and to put into place, and all the summer stuff now we can do. And even the last few years, the spring stuff now, we don't, you know, it's really controlled and there's no pads or anything like that. But you're still working on basic fundamental footwork and, you know, just things like that.
Right.
I think you'll continue to see the game grow in Indiana because of that.
And I think maybe an example of it is if I told you, I said, my first day you report August 1st, 2nd, whatever it might be, you had to play a game. You could probably get through that game.
Yeah. Now, everybody handles it different. The only thing we'd be short on would be special teams. I put that in when the season starts.
But
our offense and defense, our basic stuff is in. You're right. It's a different world right now.
Absolutely. Tell us about your team. Who do you have coming back? Who do you rely on? Let's start offensively.
Well, we got a good core back. We've got three of our offensive linemen back. Jaden Albahaka, Nick Schweitzer, and Carter Hall will anchor it. And we've got a few young kids coming up, I think, that are going to do a really good job filling in. We don't know exactly which ones are, but they're battling right now, and they will through August. So that's probably a core. Our receiving core will be really strong. Nate Anderson's back. Gage Sparrow's back. And then we're looking for a couple other guys that are fighting for some spots. And, in the offseason we found Max Schiltz is going to play linebacker, but he'll probably play an H and play some slot and maybe a little tight. We'll move him around a little bit. He's a two-way type of kid.
Is he going to play kind of that Cam Rogers type role?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That'll be the guy, I think. And our quarterback, it's Grady Swing and Peyton Slavin are going to battle it out here through August. And we'll see where we're at when it come that time.
And you know what I've noticed about Homestead's the improvement up front in the trenches, both defensive line, offensive line. Over the last few years, you just keep getting bigger and better at that position. Is that going to continue?
Yeah, I think the development, you're right. It's where you start a team up front, obviously, right? And that Greg Davis, our offensive line coach, has done a tremendous job of just building those kids up. And physically, you're right, we're bigger, we're stronger. And I think we're well coached and up front, so that makes a huge difference for us. And defensively, I think the same thing. We've got some kids that are buying into the weight room and have made themselves different players in the off season. And so that has been a difference over the last few years. I agree.
What about defensively? Who are some of the key returnees?
Well, Matt Miller up front is going to be back, and we're probably going to move him to an edge. And we've got a couple newcomers that. Jackson Crispin played halfway through his last year. He started getting significant time, so he's kind of returning star too. And up front, or at nose, we're going to find a couple guys. So that's something we're looking for there. We lost a really good linebacker crew last year, but some of those kids that were juniors and waiting for that crew to graduate, now it's their turn. And we've got some athleticism back there. So Max Schiltz is one of them. Carter Coob's going to be another one. So there's a couple other guys in the mix too. So our secondary's all back. Isaac Barkas, Desmond Smith, and it looks like Aaron Wagner is going to be those will be the three guys on the corner in the safety spots. And so we've got some good experience. We've got a good mix. You know, nucleus of really veteran guys who are 2 and 3 year starters, and we'll mix in well. And I think the underclassmen will support them well.
I'm going to ask this question because of what you experienced last year in the tournament going down to Westfield. Is does the schedule, 9 SAC games, does it prepare especially the 6A programs for what they will face on a path to get them to Lucas Oil Stadium?
Well, that's a good question. You know, in this area, this conference prepares you about as well as any conference around. But the truth is the Indy schools – the two conferences down there that are really good, and you get down there and it's a high level of football. Now, are we reaching that high level? We've struggled to get through that regional game, so we want to continue to push to get to that spot. But I think as far as our area schools, there's no other conference I'd rather be in for sure to help us prep for that. But they're a handful. Westfield was. Obviously, they went to championships. They're one of the best teams in state. So it was a bit of an eye-opener when we got down there with those guys.
It's interesting, though, when you look at these teams on paper, whether it's the Carmels from a couple of years ago or Westfield, a lot of times you look at them and think, oh, if you look at the scores, maybe they're a little bit vulnerable. Maybe, we can surprise them. It's tough. And there's no gauge because of the 9 conference games to really see our teams play any of those teams to say, where do they compare? Where are they at before they get to the tournament? Yeah. So I've talked for a while that it'd be nice if we could somehow figure out a revised schedule to get those couple of non-conference, get a chance to challenge the kids with one of those programs, whichever one it might be. You mentioned the two conferences. There's plenty of teams down there to pick from. Mm-hmm. But we'll see where that goes. Coach, best of luck to you this year. Appreciate you coming by, and we'll look forward to seeing you a couple of times at least down the road.
Well, thanks for all you do for high school football.
Appreciate that. That is Coach Chad Zolman joining us here on the special edition of the Sports Rush that we've got coming your way here on a Friday from the Empower Sports Club. We're going to take a quick time out. We're coming back. We've got plenty more ahead of us, plenty more coaches that we're going to be talking to, and we'll do that when we return on the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 1.9 FM. We are back, still rolling along here at the High School Football Media Day. It's a special Friday edition of the Sports Rush. I am Brett Rump with Caleb Hatch, 46862, the Parkview Sports Medicine text line for any questions, comments, or suggestions. Anything you've got to add to the show today. Don't forget, coming up tonight here on the airwaves, we've got Tin Caps Baseball as the series continues against the Dayton Dragons. Nice win by the Tin Caps last night. They'll try to keep that momentum going and win their third in a row tonight out of Parkview Field. 7:05 will be the first pitch, 6:45 the airtime with the Hoopy Insurance Services pregame show at 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. as we continue on here with our coaches and trying to get as many in as we can, we now are joined by a new coach at Concordia. Tim Manigault, of course, has been coaching the Concordia Cadets. He's now the athletic director at Concordia. Tried to give it a go for a year or two, but the responsibility is just too much. And so the new coach at Concordia, Mike Eschbach, is joining us right now. And first of all, Coach, welcome to the SAC.
Thank you.
It's quite the challenge. And you take over a program, it's a unique program because Concordia, one of the smaller schools in a big school conference, always a challenge during the regular season. But, of course, the goal is always how do we use the regular season to get us into a position when we go to postseason?
Right. You know, I think if you look at years past, those Concordia teams that have competed well in the SAC have proven in the tournament to have a great deal of success. And so I look at us this year as really with that same mentality. You know, it's a meat grinder. It really is. And when you look at just the caliber of football in Fort Wayne from an athletic standpoint, but then also from a coaching standpoint, I don't know the exact number, but I think there's probably four or five, maybe six coaches that have been to a state championship. Mm-hmm. Not very many conferences, you know, can say that to have that quality of coaching. So you're not going to out-coach anybody in this league. So, you know, we have to be the best version of ourselves and really put in the time and work hard and hope week in and week out that we can be competitive. And then if we're healthy at the end of the year, history will say we like our chances.
Yeah, absolutely. You've been tested, at least, and challenged through the year, which sometimes makes it better when you get to the end of the season. What will change about Concordia? What will stay the same? What will change now with a new coaching staff coming in and you taking over? I mean, we've been used to kind of the spread, single back, and a lot of things like that. What will we see from Concordia that may be the same or may be different?
Sure. I think to the average person watching, they're going to see that Coach Manigault, ran the spread and we're going to run the spread. We probably use a little bit more of a tight end than maybe what they've used. Blocking schemes might be a little bit different than what they've used in the past. I know that, they've really enjoyed throwing the football, and we do too, but we try to keep it somewhat balanced. With offensively, I don't think, there'll be a ton of differences. Defensively, we're keeping the same scheme that we did last year. And special teams will be very similar as well. I think maybe Coach Manigault or I didn't realize it going in. We really probably have very similar philosophies. And so coming in, I felt like it was important to keep some of those same traditions. But there were some things that obviously I'm more comfortable with that we had to do. But we tried to keep it as close to what they've done in the past as we could. So there'll be a lot of similarities.
When we see a talented kid like Brandon Davis that then moves on, we know that leaves an opening in an important position. Who's going to be the quarterback this year for
sure.
The Cadets?
Right now, it's looking like Eli Maddox will be our quarterback. He started a couple games last year. For a sophomore, your first two starts are Homestead and Snyder. he got his feet wet pretty quick.
Well, then in the Homestead game, he even had a backup center, so you were having some snaps that were making things a little difficult on him. It could have been easier for him, but it was about as challenging as they come.
You know, and the thing about him is he doesn't get rattled.
Yeah.
And that's a great characteristic that you have to have with a quarterback. They really have to forget the last play and move on. But he's done an outstanding job this summer of really focusing on, picking up our offense. The verbiage is different. The things that we ask him to do is a lot different. And so we've had three 11-on-11s, and I really feel like each time out he's gotten better. So.
Well, and you look at this team, and there were some skill players that really stood out. Amir Drew, another one that you've got to replace. Who carries the ball for Concordia?
Right. We're probably going to look at two or three running backs, I think, at this point. I don't know that You know, we have a true one guy yet. We're still, you know, we're just really still trying to get some experience there because there wasn't a number two. And so we're really trying to, I think for us, we're going to have a couple guys going both ways. And so it's going to be important for us how to maneuver that to where we still have fresh legs in the fourth quarter.
Right.
So you're probably going to see two or three different guys and just not exactly sure, you know, where all that's going to fall at this point. But it's just one of those that's a big question mark for us. But you know, we'll find some guys, I think, as we get closer.
Mike Eschbach joining us here, the new Concordia coach. And I know, you know, it's got to be challenging, but also, and I mentioned this earlier on the program, having all these extra practices to kind of catch up, learn what you've got, what skill sets they have, what you're going to be able to be capable of doing offensively, defensively. In today's day and age, it's an advantage versus what it would have been in old school football.
Right. You know, you're absolutely correct. I mean, when you look at, you know, even 10 years ago, you look at what the last 10 years has done with high school football. I mean, I think our summers have been a huge part of that. I mean, it raises the competitive level for our kids, for just the overall coaching, for the preparedness for the season. Our level of play from 1A to 6A across the state has been great. You know, we're getting, you know, more and more, you know, higher level kids playing at the Division I, II, yep, NAIA level. So for us, it's been great because when I got there, it was truly a blank slate.
Yeah.
It was one of those things where just outside of watching some film, but, you know, when you look at it, we had 22 seniors last year. It was even hard to find film on some guys.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It's, well, I know you'll get caught up and I'm sure as the season goes on, we'll also see that growth in Concordia, right, as they learn more about your systems. We look forward to seeing the cadets down the road. Welcome to the SAC once again. Thanks for your time. Enjoy the rest of Media Day.
Yep, thank you for having me.
That is Mike Eschbach, the new coach of the Concordia Cadets. We've got to get a timeout. It's top of the hour. In fact, we're running a little bit over, so we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back. It is the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.
Podcasts by Federated Media.